Welcome to Open House, the real estate and mortgage show on News Talk 580 CFRA. If you have any questions about mortgages or real estate, give us a call at 521-TALK. That's 521-8255.
Another spectacular day. Good morning, Mr. Napolitano.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dora, in for Paul.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Which is why this is a spectacular day, because Paul has taken the day off.
Show number 700. How dare him?
I know it is. It's show number 700.
And actually, his second anniversary, show number 100, that he hasn't bought breakfast.
So. and we're trying the Zoom thing.
Yeah. Get to see Dora, get to see Steve first time. Maybe we don't talk over each other like we have over the last year. It's been a challenge, but we plowed through.
I love your backdrop, by the way, Frank. Frank's got a nice beach backdrop.
Well, Frank is in Barbados.
Green shirt. Yeah. I'm on holidays. You guys mock me for not being on holidays. I'm on holidays.
You need the mimosa.
Good idea.
Perhaps a little too soon. All right, on to real estate and mortgages. What kind of a week has it been, Dora?
It's been a tumultuous week. So,
excuse me, no big words on this show.
So, still pretty crazy. The market is very, very, very active. The residential property sold in April, if you look at our five-year average, we're up about 400 units, which is pretty crazy. Residential prices seem to be increasing quite a bit and continuing to increase. The one thing that I did want to say, so I know Paul always looks at area 601 to 9202. For consistency's sake, the volume of units there is 1656. So we're over 1600, which is pretty great. It's nice to see a bit of a balanced market creeping up on us. But if you look at what I quote unquote consider the core, so please don't call in and tell me that I'm wrong, but if I go Stittsville down to Manotick, up to Orleans and around, there are only 568 residential properties and 348 condominiums. So very, very interesting to look at. You know, there are 1,257 residential, 399 condo in all of 601 to 9202. But if you sort of pare it down to just the center of Ottawa, 568 residential and 348 condo.
Now, is that up or is that about where it's been?
It's up a bit. So we've seen an increase of listings in the last 7 days. I think the listings have outpaced the sales for the second time this year. In the last 7 days, there were 308 sales. 308 sales. And I'm lying. 121 sales.
I thought we were doing better for a minute there.
Clearly, right? We're still in seller's market territory.
Still in seller's market territory.
No question. I mean, but that being said, I will say that this week was the first week that I saw not one but two offers come in below list with a home inspection, which was impressive.
Really?
So
really?
Yeah. So, again, I mean, I haven't seen that in so long that it was encouraging to see it. Now, again, not the standard 7 or 10 days. They got 4 business days to get a home inspection and get their financing in order, which is still is plenty of time on my end. I think the home inspections are probably quite quick now because there's so many properties that are going without home inspections that I'm guessing that home inspectors are ready to pounce on any opportunity they get. Right, Dora?
Yeah. I think so. I think we haven't seen conditional sales be the norm for over a year, and I think home inspectors are anxious to get back to work. So I think finding a home inspection, you can even book one in advance and say, you know, a placeholder, we're going to put an offer in that has a 24-hour condition. Could you be available tomorrow at noon, say? But to your point, I've seen a few conditional sales, but still the majority of them are going firm.
Yeah.
Well, that's good news for the home inspectors. Boy, they need a little work these days.
Well, post inspections are important, and I think in different markets, Toronto specifically, but when the market was very, very active, there were pre-inspections. So the sellers would pay for a building inspection and have that on file to give to potential buyers, so that if you did go in firm, you knew what you were expecting. Our market really hasn't seen that. I've seen a few in the last week where there are pre-inspections offered by the seller, and I think that that's a much smarter way to go, because it everybody's done their due diligence, and a buyer can go in knowing what they are in for. So
is that necessary in this market, though?
It's not necessary, but in Toronto, it's the norm, and their market is very similar. So I think it's educating our buyers and sellers and going that way. I don't think it's necessary, but I think that we might see it become something that is more common as it pops up here and there, and people are afraid to move forward without the building inspection.
And Frank, those two conditional offers, they were on two separate homes?
Yeah, two different homes, two different clients. Like I said, I mean, it was nice to see. Didn't, believe it or not, on those offers, didn't need it because their down payment was more than significant enough. And now the home inspection was important, and I still shake my head at people buying homes without home inspection. I agree with Dora. I mean, I think there should be something in this kind of market where a neutral home inspection is available for clients, so that it's not tied to the seller. The seller didn't order it. It's actually done neutral. I wish the real estate board would get on board on that and have it available, so that and by a certified home inspector, so that there's errors and omissions insurance in case they make a mistake, and it protects the buyer, so that a post one, and I know you talked about a post one, but I don't know how much value that post one has if you find a leaky foundation and all of a sudden you've already purchased a home firm and clear.
Yeah, but that might help you with title insurance, right?
What, that?
That might help you with title insurance.
Well,
I think the post one is just so you're aware of what you have, mm-hmm. versus a pre-inspection where every buyer has the same information and can make a decision on that information that is provided to them. And, having a neutral party, having a whether the seller or the agent choose the building inspector, you would hope that they would have some integrity and just do whatever they need to do and not favor the seller. But I think it's a good way to go, and I hope that we see more of that in our market.
Well, they talked about the blind bidding, right? And bringing, getting rid of the blind bidding. I mean, I'd much rather see a home inspection available, so that the bidding, you're bidding on a house that you know exactly what you're getting.
That's right.
And I'd rather see that and then make that a competitive situation, as opposed to, getting rid of the blind bidding. I mean, I know that there's some funny business with some realtors out there, but I'd like to give credit to a lot of the realtors are on the up and up and are doing it, the way it's supposed to be done. But I can tell you, I had a circumstance where one of my son's friends bought a property outside of London and cut off the offers at 12 noon. And then he was down to one of the final two, and all of a sudden a third one appeared at 2 o'clock, where he was double ending it, and that offer ended up winning, and that should not happen.
That shouldn't happen. And luckily for our board, those are few and far between.
Yeah. When the stories do come out, we sure hear about them, right, Dora?
Oh, of course we do. I mean, it's just like you always hear the one bad instead of the 18,000 good, right?
Yeah.
So it's a very, very difficult market for people to trust already. So when we hear these stories, it does sort of, make you think, oh, am I doing the right thing? Am I doing this? But I agree with Frank, and I would hope that if we kept the blind bidding, which I don't really see a problem with, it is capitalism, right? If you want to pay X number of dollars for something, you can. It's your right to. But I think it would be important to have the pre-inspection. Just me. It's just my own opinion.
I think a lot of people would agree with you, though, Dora, because I think that's a fair way to do it. The only people that wouldn't agree with you is a seller who's looking to get rid of a property and hoping that those deficiencies don't get caught.
Make it out.
Yep.
That's right. That's right. But if they're aware of certain deficiencies, they are obligated to give notice about them,
yeah.
Right?
They're probably proving that. I mean, that's going to be difficult to prove in many cases.
Is that true in a private sale as well, Dora?
It is. It's always true. It is always true. I mean, and neighbors speak, right? So you, over the years, if you tend to live in a house and you're speaking to your neighbors and you tell them, you like, they can see that there are, you know, remediation trucks or whatever in your driveway, the next people move in, they're probably going to tell them that that happened. So as a seller, do yourself a favor, please disclose everything. It makes the transaction, smoother. And you're not putting yourself in a position where at a later date the buyer can come after you.
Yeah, exactly. 521-TALK, 521-8255. We will be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
We are back. How are we doing with rates, Mr. Napolitano? All the same?
Still very good. Again, high ratio purchase under 2% still. So 194, 189 for a 5-year fixed. If you're, and also if you're purchasing or just a straight switch in the 65% or less, you're getting below 2%. But anything between 65 and 80% refi or purchase, you're in the low 2. So still fantastic rates.
And variables incredible still, right?
Boy, variable anywhere between 1.4 to 1.55. So pretty good on a variable. Again, there's talk of rates going up at some point. Bond market's been fairly stable since the end of February when we saw that spike over, you know, a 7 or 10 day period. But since then, it's been, you know, little ups and downs, but nothing major. So, you know, and now it's the spring market. So this is when the banks generally are extremely aggressive. So, you know, I don't expect to see any increases over the next month or two, unless the bond markets do spike. But with the vaccinations coming out, and sounds like this will be the best week upcoming. You know, I heard last night that something like 4.5 million vaccines coming into Canada this week. So hopefully our economy and this shutdown for another 2 weeks will be over, and a lot of our unemployed people will be able to get back working. And I think the restaurants are going to do a booming business this summer, which hopefully will make up for all the revenue they've lost over the last 14 months, but specifically the last 2 or 3 months that we've been in shutdown.
Now, with the economy doing better in the States, is that going to affect us?
Well, I don't know that it's impacts us too much, with the exception of the border towns going to open up. The border towns will open up. Again, I mean, that might hurt our economy a little bit, because I think there are people itching to just travel, do anything. And if they start going to the U.S. for shopping, and our dollar's doing quite well as well. So, you know, that might hurt the economy a little bit. But at the end of the day, I think people are just ready to get back to normal life.
Yeah, no.
I think so.
No,
I think so. Yeah.
521-TALK, 521-8255. Let's go to Westboro. Say hello to Rob. Hello, Rob.
Hi, you guys.
Hey, good morning.
Hi, Rob. Listen, I've got a question. I've bought and sold 3 houses and 1 condominium, but I've never been in this situation before. I'm hearing horrendous reports from friends of mine where if my mortgage is coming up for renewal, just to give you some background, in September, and if you enter into a 5-year conventional mortgage, and you sell a property, let's say within 1 year, and move to Brockville or again in Aquay or whatever, do you have to pay these to break the lease? I assume that when the property was sold, that the mortgage agreement was null and void.
You're signing a 5-year contract. And if you're doing it with one of the 5 or 6 banks, your penalties will be absolutely outrageous. You will be beyond pissed at the number that comes out. My recommendation is that, well, one of two things. If you're going to do that and you're going to move and sell the property, most mortgages are portable. So if you're going to buy another property, then you can port the mortgage to avoid the penalty. But if you think you're going to sell a more expensive house and buy a lower valued house because you're moving further away and your mortgage is going to come down by quite a bit or be paid off, I would strongly recommend that you either consider a 5-year variable rate mortgage, or you do your mortgage through a mortgage broker. Let them know that this is what you're doing. Because if we were to place your mortgage with a non-bank lender, your penalty will be much more reasonable, because they don't use a posted rate to calculate a penalty. So But if you're with one of the major banks, I would be very cautious about moving forward with a five-year fixed if you have intentions of selling the property and maybe paying off the mortgage.
Wow. See, I've never been in this position before because when I moved from, you know, I did bridge financing and I moved from one property to the next, to the next, to the next. And now I'm in one of my investment properties, which is a condominium. But anyway.
So what do you have left on the mortgage, Rob, as far as time goes?
Comes due September.
So your plans to sell? Yeah. So if you sold the property now with your mortgage up in September, I mean, your penalty will be 3 months interest. I mean, if you can time your sale to happen in September, then there would be no penalty whatsoever. You can pay it off. But if you renew your mortgage for 5 years with, again, one of the major banks, and then, you know, the month of March next year, you decide that you're going to sell it and buy another property and you don't need a mortgage anymore, the penalty is going to be not worth it. Like, it's just not worth going in that direction if that's what you think you're going to do.
So the other type of mortgage you speak of, what is the penalty? It's lesser or?
Much lesser. So if you go with a variable rate mortgage, even with a major bank, if you go with a variable rate mortgage, the maximum they can charge you as a penalty is 3 months interest. If you go with a non-bank lender, so not one of the major banks, but a non-bank lender, which, by the way, behind the scenes, most of the major banks are supporting these non-bank lenders, but but if you go with one of them, what they do is they do an interest comparison. So, you know, if you're getting a 5-year fixed at 2.24% right now, and a year from now you sell your property, they will look at what their 4-year rate is. And then based on that 4-year rate, they will charge you the penalty in the interest rate differential. Now, rates are expected to start to creep up. So if that rate is higher when you're ready to sell than what you're currently paying, then you're only going to pay the 3 months interest, which would make sense across the board, except for the banks put their small fine print writing. What they do is they put that they're going to charge the penalty based on the posted rate of the mortgage that you chose minus the discount they gave you. And then they're going to apply that discount to whatever the term that's remaining and the rate that's happening at that point. So trust me when I tell you, you can prepare for your penalty to be about 4%, 4 to 5% of what your mortgage balance is if you go in that direction.
It's big money.
Quite expensive.
It's big money, big Rob. Money.
Mm-hmm. My mortgage balance is about 123.
Yeah. So again, I mean, it's not outrageous, but you know, for a mortgage of $123,000, I don't know that anybody wants to pay a $5,000 penalty to break out of a mortgage, especially when at that time the chances are pretty good that the banks they're going to be able to recycle that money and lend it out to somebody else at a higher rate than what you're paying, and they're going to get an additional $5,000 from you. That's how the banks profit the way they do.
Aren't you glad you called, Rob?
Take a variable. Yeah. Rob, honestly, my advice.
Dining. I don't know.
Yeah. When your renewal happens, Rob, take a 5-year variable. Do not take a 5-year fix. Take a 5-year variable. You won't go wrong.
Thank you, Mr. Napolitano.
You're welcome.
Ah, fun times, huh?
The penalty thing is, man, I wish the government would get involved in that and outlaw it because it's just unfair. It's unfair the way they put it in the mortgage contract, but you really got to dig to see it. And if you go to a bank, I can assure you 100% that none of the bank employees will go through it and explain it to you how it works.
But
none of them do that.
It's that stupid posted rate that keeps coming to haunt us.
But it's a profit. Yeah. But it's a profit margin for them. So
I know, but it's a made up rate, Frank.
Of course, it is.
Like it has
for profits.
Yes, I know, but it has no base. Yeah. No basis in reality.
I agree. Zero basis in reality. And actually, if anything, it allows the Bank of Canada to set their rates for qualifying based on what the banks do, which is totally unfair in itself as well.
Speaking of which, when we come back, are there changes in the regs rolling our way, Frank?
Well, May 24th is the day where we talked about the change potentially on the uninsured mortgages, which is 20% down. But there's more and more whispers I'm hearing that they may implement it on the insured mortgages as well. So,
all right. 521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll cover that and much more when we come back.
we return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
We are back. Dora in for Paul, who is taking the 700th show off. I should say the anniversary show is 700, and he's taking this one off. He hasn't taken all 700 off.
No, he hasn't. You guys are legends.
I think he took number 600 off, too, actually, if I remember correctly. So, I don't know. He's got this thing against.
So, Dory, now you're saying listings are up to about 1,600, and that's probably probably the highest they've been in about a year?
I think so. And I think the surge of inventory is likely, well, at least what I'm seeing is that people are sort of changing their life plan, taking advantage of the market. A lot of opportunistic sellers right now. There's a lot of pent-up, you know, energy where people were thinking of putting their house up for sale, and it's been a year of lockdown, a year of unknown. I'm seeing a lot of people who are investors who are selling just because the market is where it is, and also people close to retirement. So 2, 3, 4 years out, thinking, well, I'm just going to take advantage of the market right now and accelerate my plan. So we are seeing a surge of inventory. It's common this time of year, right? It's seasonality. In the spring, we tend to have more listings.
Yeah, but what we're calling a surge this year is certainly wouldn't be considered a surge any other year.
No, it is not. It is not. But it is refreshing to have a bit of a choice for a buyer.
And do you see more? I mean, do you see more and more of that in the next month and two?
I think that that's as we are opening up and as people are there. I mean, there are still a number of people who are both afraid of going into people's homes and people who are afraid of having people in their homes. And as more and more people get vaccinated, as we sort of develop more, you know, or some herd immunity, I think you will see people who have been delaying putting their houses up for sale come up for sale.
Well, then there's the possibility that maybe a month from now, a month and a half from now, when most of us are vaccinated at least once, this market could blow up, right? You could see a whole load of listings.
That's right. You could see a whole load of listings, but you might also see a whole load of buyers, people who were sort of on the sidelines. And because the whole load of listings will alleviate some of the stress that buyers are feeling, right? Where they're afraid of the offer process. They're afraid of not being able to find a house. They're afraid of putting their own house up for sale because they don't know what they're going to buy. So as more inventory comes up on the market, there is more opportunity for people who are coming into the market and people who are moving from one home to another. And so I think, we do have a lag in construction. We've had sellers reluctant to move, and as things open up, I think we're going to see a surge in everything. A surge in, and I know, you know, the economy, a surge in restaurants, a surge in patios, a surge in, you know, people going to sporting events and concerts and all sorts of things. I think it's just going to be a very, very different world.
So would your advice?
The roaring 20s. Yeah. Remember those? Hey, Steve, you were around then.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go find my old tassel dress.
Next Zoom call, I'm expecting.
No, yeah, you really don't want to see that. So your advice then would be, if you're thinking of selling, to do it sooner than later, Dora?
I think so. I mean, I've been saying this for months and months and months. The best time to put your house up for sale is yesterday. And if it's not yesterday, then it is today. And if not, then tomorrow.
You have to have somewhere to go, though, right?
You have to have somewhere to go unless you are a gambling person. And in this environment, with still being a seller's market, you can dictate the closing date. So you can push the closing date out. We're seeing as far as September right now, some properties even October. So if you are willing to take a long closing date on your own sale and then give yourself X number of months to find something, sure. But it does complicate things because where are you going to live in between? What are you going to do? It is easier to buy first and then sell, but some people can't do that, right?
Well, that's been a dilemma for the last year, right? Can't find a property.
That's right. But you can have a very long closing date, which does give you time to find something, but the pressure's on, right? And then people think, well, am I going to settle for something instead of just finding the right home? So
your suggestion would be to find a good agent like you to find something then.
Oh, of course. Find a good agent like me.
Frank, what's the frustration level with your clients these days? Is it getting a little bit better?
It's getting a little bit better. That being said, I mean, you know, lenders are a little slower getting back to us, but the volumes are off the charts. As far as pre-approvals, I mean, they're waiting for what Dora just talked about, for this, maybe the shutdown to end and more listings on where everybody's vaccinated, because a lot of them have just decided to go on the sidelines and wait for this nonsense in their opinion to stop, because they're tired of losing out on offers and making competitive offers and still losing out on them. So some of them have put the brakes on and said, you know what, we'll try this again in the fall. If it works out in the fall, great. If not, we'll wait till next spring again. And they're kind of taking that attitude. I don't know that interest rates will change very much. So, you know, it won't change their whether they qualify or not. I mean, we talked about before we went on the break, potential changes. So May 24th, OSFI will announce whether their recommendation has been approved. Right now, the recommendation is for anybody that's buying a house or refinancing their house, where there's you can't refi. The only time you can refinance where you get greater than 80% of the finance it to greater than 80% of the value of your home is if you're going through a marital breakup. So there's an exception there with a separation agreement where you can refinance, but in those circumstances, you're only going to qualify at 5.25 instead of the current 4.79. But there are whispers out there that they might decide to actually make the qualifying rate 5.25% across the board, which I think would be wrong, because it would severely impact first-time homebuyers. It's already tough enough qualifying at 4.79 when you're getting a five-year mortgage rate of 1.89 or 1.94. Bumping that up to 5.25%, I think, would be a wrong message to send, especially to young Canadians looking to get into home ownership.
That's another one that doesn't seem to make sense to me. Why so much difference, Frank?
There's certainly the expectation the rates are going to go up, but are they going to go up that much? No. I mean, okay. I think the fear right now is that, you know, maybe there is a bubble, and that's the big fear. And, you know, if there's a bubble, then they want to make sure that they're ready, they're prepared to accept the fact that they might stay in a home for a year or two, that the real estate prices might come down. But I don't think the mortgage is going to be the issue at that point. I think people will want to get out of the houses. If they think that property values are going to continue to decline, they'll want to get out just on a principal standpoint, before they lose too much money. So, it's hard to say.
When was the last time a mortgage was 5.25% in Canada?
I don't know, Steve, you probably,
when you were in a dress
at that time. Yeah.
when you were wearing your dress.
That's probably 20, 25 years. I mean, honestly, it's probably 20 or 25 years since that's happened. So,
how does it make sense to set the rate at that right now?
All they're doing is trying to prepare Canadians so that if things went sideways, that they qualify on the higher rate. I think the way it is right now at 4.79 is fine. I think if they think that raising it to 5.25% is going to cool the real estate market, again, they're incorrect. You know, CMHC came out with their report where, and I was questioned on it this week. It's like, well, I take CMHC's report with a grain of salt, because clearly we remember a year ago where the president of CMHC predicted that prices would come down 9 to 18% and was way off. So
they did,
whatever they say now.
Speaking of which, Frank, they took a bit of a hit, didn't they?
They took a big, like they are slowly going to become the third rated. I mean, they're second now, but they're just barely second. Canada Guarantee and Sagen, who used to be Genworth, now they're called Sagen, have moved ahead of them. And lenders prefer working with them because CMHC tightened their scope a little bit, where they stayed with the 42 as opposed to the 44, which all the other insurers went with. So a lot of the lenders just, they don't want to be fighting insurers. So they go to the one that they've had success with. And that's what we're seeing right now.
Sort of to your point, the one thing I thought was kind of neat this morning, I was looking in 2019, the average price for a home, a residential home in Ottawa, was $488,000, which was an increase of 7.4% over 2019. In 2021, that same average is $735,000. So $250,000 appreciation in 2 years.
Yeah, so, crazy.
You know, whether this idea that we're in a bubble, traditionally Ottawa has been in a very stable, affordable market. We have a thriving local economy despite the pandemic, despite everything else. And we have been well below the Canadian average. So I don't know.
Now, having said
just to add that, Dora, I was on a call, a webinar this week with one of the CEOs of one of the lenders, and he actually went out of his way to say that the delinquencies are at record lows, which is to him, he said, I cannot believe the amount of, or the minimal amount of delinquencies we have. We have less delinquencies today than we did 18 months ago before the pandemic. And here we're going through a pandemic. So again, they're extremely confident. And I just want to talk about one of our loyal listener, Mike Carchetto, just sent me an email on the previous caller that called about, you know, what he can do. And Mike suggested, well, why can't he just get the person who's buying his property to assume his mortgage? Assumable mortgages are out there, but most lawyers will recommend that the buyer does not do that. The reason for that, and most vendors lawyers will say it as well, because the way the Bank Act is written, if somebody assumes your mortgage, technically you're still responsible for it until the renewal comes up. So if he's renewing in September and he sells his property next March, technically, even though he doesn't own the property anymore, if somebody assumes his mortgage, he would still be responsible for it if something went sideways right up until the renewal date when the new client signs the renewal agreement.
That used to happen all the time, though, eh, Frank?
It used to be common. Yeah, not anymore. You don't see it anymore. You don't see it anymore because of that. And until the rules change, then nobody's going to do it, really.
521-TALK, 521-8255, back with our final segment. Hey, I thought Paul might call us, you know?
Wow.
I'm speechless.
I know.
Show number 700. I'm speechless.
Apparently we all are. 521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back to the show. Show number 700, when Frank's hair and my hair was a little less gray, but Dora looked exactly the same.
No, this is color.
But she still looks as young as she did 11 years ago.
You can't even pay a woman a compliment anymore without getting an argument.
Sorry.
You do, Dora. I've known you for 14 years. You don't look any different to me. Every time I see you, you look the same. So.
You know, hasn't aged well as Paul, though. He went right down, didn't he?
Oh, my God. He was a baby when he did the show. Now he's an old man for sure.
Hey, listen, Frank, we're talking about
He even forgets to call in. Show number 700, he forgets to call in.
Well, they say the memory's the second thing to go.
Yeah.
Back to the regs, Frank. You said May 24th is when we find out?
May 24th is when we find out, and then it's supposed to be enforced on June 1st. So anybody who's got a current mortgage approval in place doesn't apply to them. If you've entered into a purchase agreement for a property prior to June 1st, you will be grandfathered. But if you've entered into a purchase agreement post June 1st, then you'll have to qualify by the new rules if they're passed.
And where are we at for pre-approvals? If you had a pre-approval done about 6-8 months ago, are you still good, or should you be getting it done again?
That's what we're waiting for. That's part of the message we're going to get on the 24th, that if you've got a pre-approval, we're waiting for that message, and we're hoping the message comes out that if you've been pre-approved prior to June 1st and you've got that 120-day rate guarantee if you're buying resale, or if you purchase from a builder. But again, if you purchase from a builder, your purchase agreement is pre-June 1st anyway, then we're hoping that they get grandfathered. But, you know, in other years, they've said pre-approvals don't qualify. So we're hoping that this year that's what happens, is they give us a little bit of a break. Because if that's the case, then what we'll do is we'll reenact the pre-approvals again on May 30th, May 31st. So we get that four-month period of that rate lock that takes us right up until the end of September.
Wow.
Are your clients asking about this, Dora? Is it top of mind or no?
Some, but not really, to be honest with you. Like I think as it gets closer, which I mean, I guess now it's becoming after the 24th, I think it will be. And I think we might see quite a surge of people trying to get a firm contract in before the 1st of June. But I don't know that the rates or the change is going to really affect that much buying power. Yeah. I think when a few years ago, when we had a great big change, there was a really, really big influx of people trying to firm up on homes before the new rules and regulations came into place, because that decreased, I think, buying power by
2%.
18. That's right.
Yeah. So it was a 2% difference, right? Somebody was getting a 5-year mortgage at 2.64, but the qualifying was 4.64. That's a huge difference. Today we're going 4.79 to 5.25, probably 3 to 4% difference in buying power. So minimal.
Yeah.
At this point.
That's right.
Well, minimal unless you're close, right, Frank?
Yeah.
That's right. Well, and I think
there are lenders out there that will, you know, they don't have to go to 44. We've got lenders that will go to 50% on the TDS. So we've got some give with when it's 20% down. If they push it forward on insured mortgages, then that's going to be a hard line.
That's what I mean for a lot of people.
That's where it's going to be difficult. Yeah. Anybody, you know, if they enact it for people buying with less than 20% down, that's going to hurt the most.
Another reason to go to a broker.
It is, especially with the prices. That's right.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to say, I had an appraisal come in light for the first time in a long, long time this week.
How light?
Well, the purchase was over $1.2 million, and it came in almost $100,000 light.
Wow.
Was it not prepared? They were prepared. They were fine, but it didn't seem justifiable. So it just—I don't know if it was a one of. I don't know what it was, but it did come in late.
Was it a huge difference?
Second opinion.
Huge difference from the list, Dora.
No, it wasn't at all.
Wow.
It was right on point. I'm not really sure what happened there, but it's a reminder, right? It's a really, really big reminder to let people know that if things do appraise lighter, you have to be prepared to make up the difference with your down payment, and it affects people at the 5 and 10%, not so much the 20%. They've got room to sort of, you know, wiggle room, but it is it's a good reminder.
Touch wood, you haven't seen that much, eh, Frank?
No, but you're right, Dora. It could be very expensive because if you're buying a house in the $1.2 million, it is not insurable. So so you have to buy with 20% down. The problem is if you only have the 20% down and that value comes in $100,000 less, you can't switch it to 15% down or 10% because it's not eligible on a $1 million property. So you really, in those circumstances, need to be prepared. But if you're buying an $800,000 property and the appraisal comes in at 750 and you were prepared to go in with 20% down, as long as you qualify, then it could go down to 15% and you could still get the home. But, you know, it gets really tricky when you're over $1 million because there are no differences. You need to come up with the difference in money if that happens.
Well, and that's the situation, right?
It is. And I guess all consumers are going to speak to banks and mortgage brokers and sort of, you know, we emphasize so much that you have to have your financing. If you're going in firm, you have to have your financing rock solid. But I would bet that there are people out there that don't know that mortgage rules change at the $1 million mark. And that's something that I think we really have to be broadcasting, because as prices creep up, over $1 million homes are I'm not going to say the norm, but they're very common now.
But what are the rules that change? What are the rules that change at $1 million?
You can't get it insured at all.
Yeah.
So you cannot get default insurance.
So that's got to change though, right, Frank?
Well, I'd like to think of Toronto and Vancouver for sure. I mean, even Ottawa, the way we're going right now. I mean, I think it should be regionalized. They have it nationalized. It used to be regionalized. They changed it to national. I think they need to come back to regionalizing those and having certain amounts in certain cities based on what the property values are in those cities. So, you know, I'd like to see that Toronto should be at probably 1.25 or 1.5 million. I think Ottawa can now get close. I don't think they're there yet, but I think we can get close to maybe bumping it up to 1.25.
I don't know. If we keep going at this rate, it might be 2 million by next year.
I think it's going to slow down, though. I think the real estate market will slow down. That's what I say too. Right? I mean, the kids right now that are in their late teens or early 20s that are dreaming of home ownership are watching it become more and more difficult every day.
Well, I mean, if you look really from 2019 in Ottawa to today, month to month, 250,000 average higher on a residential property.
Yeah, it's unseen.
And, I mean, people's salaries haven't changed that dramatically at all, right? And if anything, people have lost salaries because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
So my poor kids. My kids are in their 20s. So.
Oh, come on. You haven't bought them a house yet?
Yeah.
Birthday's Frank.
Yeah.
I got three, actually. My sister-in-law, who I have, that's two birthdays I've missed of hers, and the get-togethers, I miss her. Carmela Soprano, Carmela Violante, had her birthday this week. Antonio Di Paolo, Waldo's son, turned 21 this week. Happy birthday, Antonio. And James Leach, one of our top brokers in our company, had his birthday this week. Happy birthday to all three of them.
You know, when I hear you do birthdays, it reminds me of Don Rickles messing with Frank Sinatra. Dora, you got anything for us?
Just happy 700th show, gentlemen.
Happy 700th show. How do we get?
Thank you.
How do we get a hold of you, Dora?
Dora@paulrushforth.com, or right. You can call the office.
Frank 782-122 for Dora.
Frank N at mortgagebrokers.com. Have a great week.
Yeah. Please support local business and charities, everyone.